And now a look at the confused legacy of a man who spent his life sowing confusion and anger over his opposition to homosexuality. Fred Phelps, the former leader of the Westboro Baptist Church, died yesterday at age 84. His disruptive protests at military funerals and his angry protests against gays and Jews got him headlines and made him enemies. Last month, he was reportedly excommunicated from the church he founded. Joining us now is someone who has followed the hate speech agenda of the Westboro Baptist Church for decades, Mark Potok, senior fellow at the Southern Poverty Law Center. Mark, welcome.
A real pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Can you describe the legacy here? What conversation was started by Fred Phelps and his trajectory from utter obscurity to really setting the agenda on some level?
Well, I'm not sure he really set the agenda. He really pushed the far boundaries of just how vile and unpleasant you could be in terms of public speech. He was so aggressive, so filled with slurs and ugly things to say, that in fact he probably did the movement against gay rights more harm than anything else. I've actually heard people on the Christian right wonder to themselves whether or not Phelps might be some kind of plant created by their enemies to sort of put a bad light on the anti-gay movement.
What accounts for his breakout, though, where he really did have an influence that forced people to react to him on some level?
Well, I think when he really became a national figure, along with his followers in Westboro Baptist Church, was in 1998 when he picketed the funeral of Matthew Shepard, the young gay man who was murdered in the Pacific Northwest. The funeral pickets were so nasty. You know, Matthew Shepard is burning in hell, that kind of thing. Thank God for AIDS and all those kinds of signs that the Westboro Baptist people delighted in creating really forced him into the national consciousness.
What leadership techniques did he use to actually deliver a following to the protests for funerals of soldiers killed in Iraq and Afghanistan at a time when those were really off limits to any political messages?
Well, I think of Fred Phelps as being a kind of cult leader. If you listen to some of his estranged children, four of his 13 children have completely broken with him. They talk about being beaten with mattock handles, a kind of axe handle. As kids, they were forced to do things like sell candy in the streets in order to raise money for the church at a time when it had very little. So this was an extremely authoritarian family. Phelps was very much the boss of that family until very near the end, when apparently he was excommunicated by the church, kind of tucked away in a house away from the compound. Essentially what went around came around in terms of Fred Phelps.
Did he have a broad political agenda? Was there any evidence of that? Or was he pretty much a single issue leader of very much a personal cult of personality?
I think he was a single issue kind of a fellow. I mean, this is a man who was obsessed with sexuality going back more than 50 years. In 1952, in fact, Phelps was profiled in Time magazine doing street ministry work against petting. Against people making out in the back seats of cars. So the man has been fixated on sex and human sexuality for almost his entire life.
And in terms of legacy, does anything from the Fred Phelps message or movement survive? You might say the legacy is, in fact, the pendulum has swung very much the other way in the time that he's been alive.
I think that is right. I think that to a large extent, if Fred Phelps and his followers did anything, they helped to push revulsion against the extremes of the anti-gay movement. Their language was so foul, so off-putting. In the latter years of his life, people who went to funerals in order to protect the funeral goers, the families of the person who had died and so on, ranged from people very much on the left to people very much on the right. So in a sense, Phelps has had the effect of uniting people from the rather far left to the rather far right in opposition to everything he stood for.
Mark Potok, senior fellow at the Southern Poverty Law Center. Thanks so much.
A real pleasure to be with you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.